Hello, it's Father Eli here at St. Joe's in Our Lady of Fatima. It's Wednesday, April 29th, and today I want to talk a little bit about church councils, ecumenical church councils. There have been 21 church councils over the history of the church, and I'm going to run through them very briefly, very quickly, just so you maybe you've heard the names. So the first one was in 325. That was the Council of Nicaea. Second one, First Council of Constantinople, year 381. You'll notice the name always it means where it took place. Sometimes it's the hyphenated one because it took place in more than one place over time, but usually it's just one name or one city name. Third council was the Council of Ephesus, 431. Council of Chalcedon in 451 was the fourth one. The fifth one was the Second Council of Constantinople, 553. Then there was a third Constantinople in 680 to 681. Then there was a second Council of Nicaea, 787. There was a fourth Council of Constantinople, 869. There was a first Lateran Council, 1123. The Lateran Council actually took place in Rome at the Lateran Basilica in Rome. So the Lateran Council refers to where it took place in Rome itself. The 10th Council was the second Lateran Council. The 11th was the Third Lateran Council in 1179, and the Fourth Lateran Council took place in 1215, and that was the 12th Council. The First Council of Lyon was 1245. That was the 13th Ecumenical Council. The 14th Ecumenical Council was the Second Council of Lyon in 1274. The 15th Council was the Council of Vienne, in 1311 to 1313. And the 16th council was of Constance, 1414 to 1418. So you can see some of these stretched out over a number of years. The 17th council was of Florence. Basil, Fiora, and Florence from 1431 to 1439. And the 18th council was the 5th Lateran Council, 1512 to 1517. The 19th council was the Council of Trent, from 1545 to 1563. The 20th council was the First Vatican Council, 1869 to 1870. And the last one, you probably heard the most about because it's the most recent one. The Second Vatican Council was the 21st Ecumenical Council, and that took place from 1962 to 1965. So those are the ecumenical councils. These are the councils that had bishops from all over the world were invited, the entire church gathered. There are some Christians that accept some of them and all of them, and there are some that reject all of them and have nothing to do with any of them. But they're all different. They all deal with particular issues. And it's interesting that usually a church council happens when the church gathers to talk about something that has come up. And it's dealing with the problems, like a false teaching, a heresy, or trying to resolve a dispute or something like that in the church. You'll notice that the First Council of Nicaea didn't happen until 325. Well, why is that? We had 325 years without a church council. Well, part of that was because Christianity was persecuted for many of those years, so it was very hard to gather and talk about things. There is, in the New Testament, they gather in Jerusalem, the apostles, to talk about some things. That's sometimes called the Council of Jerusalem, but it wasn't considered an ecumenical council in the same sense. Was more of kind of a meeting. So the councils, most of the time, met and gathered bishops from both East and West. That's why they're often called the ecumenical. You can see many of them took place in the East, all the places in Constantinople, Ephesus, Chalcedon, all those places are in the East. Nicaea is in the East. The Lateran Council's in Rome, so those ones took in the West. Lyon is in the West. So when I say East-West, we're talking about Europe versus like Asia Minor. And very interesting. So the Second Vatican Council is somewhat unique in that it's not addressing a particular false teaching or a false attack on the church or something like that. It's more addressing like the church's approach to society. And so in that sense, the documentation is much more expansive because it's trying to set out some new principles or a way of kind of trying to speak to the world in a different way. Whereas in the past, the councils usually just met and said, okay, is this right or is this wrong? And they would say, they would debate about it, talk about it, and then they would kind of give some clarity. Another important council for our time, besides the Second Vatican Council and the First Vatican Council, would be the Council of Trent, which happened during, you might say, or right after the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation. So it happened over a long period, 1545 to 1563. So part of that was that some of the popes didn't want to deal with it, and others did. And kind of there was different things going on in the world, and so that's why that one took so long. They weren't meeting continuously that whole time, but they would meet and then have a recess or a break for a number of years. So that's sometimes how the councils went. So again, the councils are always there to address different challenges. Some of them were very long and arduous. Some of them were fairly short and fairly simple. The first number of councils dealt with mostly like Christological things. So Nicaea was talking about Jesus and his, is he truly man and truly God, or is he one or the other? So things like that. Later councils dealt with more things like iconoclasm, which is, do we have images? Is it okay to have sacred images of saints, of even of God, or is all that bad? So in the Muslim faith, they try not to have images of anything because it's, for them, it's kind of heretical to do that. So that started to kind of come into Christianity as well. And so we had to reaffirm the fact that, yes, images are okay. It's okay to have images of God and of saints and so forth, and to even venerate them to some degree. Not that we worship them, but that they represent, what they represent is a beautiful and important thing. Some of the councils were very particular. I'm trying to find one that's maybe less known to us. Okay, here's one council that you might find very interesting that it's so specific. So the Third Council of Constantinople, which again was in 680 to 681, this one condemned monothelitism, which is basically that the idea that Christ has two wills, the divine and the human. Two distinct principles of operation, so that the fact that Christ is divided in his will or something like that. So we talk about the human will of Christ, the man, and the divine will, but that they are together, they're united. So they anathematized, or basically said that these people were excommunicated. So Sergius, Pyrrhus, Paul, Macrinus, and all these other followers of the monothelitism, which, again, the two wills of Christ. So that's kind of an interesting thing that they would have gathered and talked about something so specific. These days, we wouldn't probably do that. That would be something that they would more talk through at a, you know, a meeting at the Vatican or something like that. You also notice that there were a lot of councils that happened in the East and then others that happened in the West. And kind of at a certain point, there was that division. Why was that? Well, that's because in 1054, there was a schism between the East and the West. So the Eastern Catholic churches became the Orthodox churches. Now, there are still some Eastern Catholic churches which are distinctly Eastern churches. They're not Roman Catholic, but they're like Greek Catholic or Eastern Catholic or Maronite or different things. These are legitimate churches that are united to Rome, but they are not Roman Catholic. They are Catholic, but not Roman Catholic. So it's kind of confusing. So you'll see, if you look at the history of the church, that the schism that happened between East and West, there were attempts to overcome that, but most of those kind of failed eventually. And unfortunately, the church has remained divided between the East and the West, the Orthodox and the Catholic. So these are just some basic notes on the ecumenical councils. They're a great source of learning. If you go and study them, they'll help you understand kind of the doctrinal things of the church, how doctrine developed or how doctrine was affirmed and challenged at different times, and how that helped the church clarify different things. So disagreeing is not always a bad thing. It helps us clarify things. The problem is if we continue to disagree and we never come together, then we remain divided. So councils are a place where the church historically has tried to resolve things and has had some success with that. Not always. Sometimes these councils were not all that successful in bringing unity. But it was a mechanism which the church had to deal with differences of opinion in important members of the church. A lot of times, part of the challenges was in the East, they were speaking Greek, in the West, they were speaking Latin, and so sometimes the terms don't always line up. If you're talking in two different languages, sometimes that's a challenge of how do we communicate? Do we see use a word in the same way? Does it mean the same thing? So these kind of challenges have historically created difficulties in the church over the centuries. So that's just a quick overview of ecumenical church councils, and I hope you are able to study some of them. I would say if you were going to study one of them, I'd start with Vatican II because it's the most recent. After that, maybe I'd jump to the Council of Trent because that one would help you understand how the church responded to the Reformation. I'll probably be talking about the Reformation in a later podcast. But all right, I think that's enough for today. God bless you. Take care. Have a good day.